All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Biblical requirements to become president, and why Obama doesn't meet any of them.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. And even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would be a dangerous thing. And if you doubt that, let me just give you an example. We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's ordered by God to offer up his only son. Without argument, he takes Isaac up to the mountaintop, he binds them to the altar, raises his knife, prepares to act as God commanded. Now,
Section 1 of Article 2 of the United States Constitution sets forth the eligibility requirements for serving as President of the United States. It says, "No person, except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States, at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained to the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States." And this was put into the Constitution. This was put into the Constitution to prevent anybody, obviously, from becoming president who has allegiances to another nation, to another country, to another way of life. In other words, to prevent people like Obama from becoming president, to prevent people from coming in and changing our way of life to something that fits their mold, that fits their beliefs, that fits their character. And you might be thinking, well, Obama is a natural-born citizen. Well, he may be. Many people don't believe there's enough proof of that yet. And I'm not going to say either way. I don't know. But what I do know, he may be, even if he is eligible under the United States Constitution, if he's in office to change the nation, he's ineligible right there because they swear to uphold the Constitution, which he tries to destroy every day. But let's just say he is eligible according to what the Constitution says. That still doesn't make him eligible to become leader of this great Christian nation, according to the Bible, or by biblical standards. Because the Bible does set forth standards. It does set forth standards of who should lead a Christian nation and who should not. And we're going to read about that here today. The scriptures I'm about to read are somewhat controversial to many. Many people will accuse me of being a racist for reading them. But you know what? I'm a Bible teacher. I teach God's word. I don't soften God's word out of fear of not being politically correct or fear of being called a racist or something like that. I'm not going to bend and water down God's word just to be more accepted. Because, you know, I don't fear men. I fear and want to serve Almighty God. And that's the oath that every Christian should take, all the way down to their grave. Fear God, not men. And we're going to read about it today here. And here it is, verse 14. Who should lead a Christian nation? And it reads, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt possess it, and thou shalt dwell therein, When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me." In other words, God knew beforehand that the Israelites would eventually want a king. It wasn't his preferred method. He wanted to be the king himself. In other words, you know, like this, I can't help but think of America when I read this verse. Or when I think of a king ruling over our people, is that our forefather said, we have no king, but King Jesus. That was their motto. That was their motto. And I think it was a republic like that, a republic under God, is probably the most perfect form of government that you could that you could achieve on this earth, that you could form. But anyways, God knew they'd want a king. But when we look at this word king there, this could also, you know, when you look at the role that a president has today, they are the chief executive. They are the one in charge. They are the leader of the nation. That, yes, it's true, they're not king, but if you look at all the executive orders that some of these presidents sign, like Obama, you would think they're king. But what I'm trying to say is this law here applies to presidents as well as any other kind of major leader among God's people. He says, when you decide you're going to set a leader over you, verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One. Now here's the scripture I'm coming to. This is the controversial scripture. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. We're not talking spiritually here. We're talking physically. We're talking, what God is saying, they must be of the tribes of Israel. And many of you who have studied the migrations of those 10 tribes, you know that after the Assyrian captivities, even the Babylonians, they spread north over the Caucasus Mountains, were later renamed Caucasians. I'm speaking of those 10 lost tribes. They spread throughout Europe, building Christian nations and kingdoms, and then crossed over that great Atlantic Ocean to this great nation, America. So that's what we're talking about here. These are the same people here. America was founded by the same people, by the Israelites, by God's people. And we got many studies on it. We even have a category of studies on that on our website. If you go down to public categories, you'll see the 10 lost tribes or America and prophecy. Scroll through some of those studies and you'll learn about that there. You'll learn that America was founded by those 10 so-called lost tribes of Israel, by those people. Anyways, so what God says is, hey, you are not to put anybody who is not an Israelite as the leader of your nation. Why? Why would God command it? Because they were supposed to be a separate people, a holy people, as we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you missed that, go back to our, scroll through our YouTube channel and you'll see Deuteronomy 7, a holy people will be the title of the study. God wanted them to be separate, to be unique, to be a light and an example unto the world. You know, think of it this way. He wanted them to keep their identity. He wanted them to keep who they were because they have many prophecies yet to fulfill, even all the way back, all the way through the book of Revelation, as well as into the eternity. I know this sounds so different than what most people hear, even among conservative groups. Even some conservative groups would say, oh, but Pastor Ben, you know, we're way past that now. We can't go along with that. We have to please everybody. But this is God's law. And you know what? It applies for all the other nations as well. Think about it this way. If you're a white American, a Christian Israelite, how do you think China would accept you over there if you went over there to the Asian peoples and said, you know what, I think I should be king. And if you don't, or I should be leader, I should be president. If you don't accept me, I think you're a racist. I think you're a bigot. You know how they'll laugh you out of there. But yet in America today, we just, you know, it's if you're a white Caucasian Christian, you're always called a racist if you want to keep the national identity the way it is. Now, this isn't to say that foreigners and non-Israelites were not to be allowed in to live among the Israelites. They were. They were, and they were to be treated kindly. There are many laws that where God says, treat the foreigner or the stranger kindly in your land. They were to obey your laws. But they were not to take over leadership positions in your nation. It's common sense. Every people has the right to maintain their ethnic as well as national identity. We have no right to take that away from any people. We have no right to take that away from peoples in Africa, peoples in Asia, peoples in India, people in the Middle East, the Arab nations. We have no right to take that away from them. You know, you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and God created all the different races on the earth the way he wanted them, the way he liked them. And each people has a different plan and different purpose in the overall plan of God. God loves all of his children. He loves all of his races. There's nothing racist about following this law of having one of your blood brethren as far as physical tribe, so to speak. That's, if you look up the word brethren here, that's what it means. And the word stranger there means somebody of a different womb. Somebody of another people. And I mean, yes, I'll say it, somebody of another race. So does that disqualify Obama right there? You decide. Obviously it does. And I know right now, I can see people just hitting the stop button right now. Oh, we can't listen to that. Well, don't listen to God's word then. Go listen to the soothsayer on the street corner near your house. If you don't want to hear the word of God being taught. Does that sound like I'm being arrogant? No. I'm just saying that people are afraid to teach God's word anymore. Because of the pressure, the peer pressure. Now it's like, you know, you go from this, if you teach this verse, you're a racist. If you teach another verse that says you shall not be a homosexuality, now you're a hate monger. Where do we draw the line? And start listening to God rather than fearing men, rather than fearing being labeled as something that you're not, because you respect other people and you demand respect from other people. Are there great, great Christians and conservatives of other peoples and races? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And God loved them. They are great people, but that does not mean that we should violate this law and put somebody of another people as our leader, as our president. Look at what's happening. We have our first one right now. Look where his loyalties lie. Am I saying everybody would do that? No, but God knows human nature. God knows human nature. And that's why he created things kind after kind. Everything's divided up. Hey, you know, when you get to the eternity, in Revelation chapter 21, as well as Isaiah 60. All of the different nations have their own kings. The Asians, the Africans, you know, if you want to go by colors, the blacks, the people with more of the yellow skin, olive skin, tan skin, they all have their own kings. And they come into the temple of God, and they're all, those kings are able to come into God's temple and give gifts unto God and worship with God's people. And that's a beautiful thing, but the nations are separate, kind after kind. At that time, there is not all this you know, unity and diversity and things like that. Again, strangers and foreigners among God's people are to be treated well, but they are not supposed to rise above God's people. His chosen people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not supposed to rise above them in leadership positions unless it's a punishment brought upon the people for their sins. And that's actually why Barack Obama is our president today. You read about it, he is the stranger of Deuteronomy 28, I have no doubt in my mind. And He's part of the curses that are coming upon people who refuse to listen to God's law. Well, that's the law anyways. But there are other laws. Here we'll get into it. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. He's not supposed to put the people in bondage. And he's not supposed to, let me just finish reading this verse, to the end that he should multiply horses for as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. You know, you shouldn't go back into Egypt. You shouldn't go back into bondage. But also what God is saying here is, you know, we need a strong military. But we don't need to build it up to the point where it oppresses the people. Because after all, we know from various scriptures such as Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, that God defends his people. That he'll protect us. We can't rely solely on military might, is what God is saying. You don't want to make a god out of the military. Again, this does not promote pacifism. This does not promote being weak. But what this does is it says, do not be an aggressor nation. Do your things, mind your own business. And if you follow my law, I'll protect you from your adversaries and I'll give you what you need to defeat them. But don't have a king or a leader that's going to take advantage and create a massive military to go start conquering other nations. Don't do that. You know, that I guess that could be a warning to us not to get involved in preemptive wars around the world. Sure, there are times when we've been attacked or they've declared war on us. Yeah, that's fine. And we go and we take care of them. We defeat them. But there is a line there that God wants drawn. He doesn't want the leader to gain too much power to the point where he's an aggressor. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives unto himself that his heart turn not away. Okay, a leader's not supposed to have many wives. You know, you think of Solomon. He broke all these rules. He broke all these rules of what the king was supposed to do in his later years after he was blessed with everything that he had. I mean, Solomon ended up having 700 wives and 300 concubines. You think he broke this law just a little bit? And they did. They turned his heart away from God. And that's when the nation ended up being, because of Solomon's actions, the nation ended up being divided up into two kingdoms. The kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. And then later they went into captivity, the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. But anyways, so that was not to be done. And you're not, if you were to look at this in the modern day, you're not supposed to have leaders or presidents that fornicate, that commit adultery, such as Bill Clinton, having his many different side flings. That's not the kind of leader you want. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver or gold. All right, there's a lesson there too. Leaders are not supposed to take leadership positions to for their own benefit, to get rich. And this can be applied even to the ministry as well. You know, pastors and priests and ministers, you're not in it to multiply excessive riches and gains for yourself. Pastors and ministers are supposed to stay humble. They're supposed to, you know, live a moderate lifestyle and serve the people, just like a king is supposed to do. Because that's why you're in that role. You're not in there to multiply things for your own benefit. Multiply goods to yourself for your own benefit. You're there. You're not supposed to be there for the perks and all that. You're there to serve. You're there to work. Verse 18. You know this. You can go to Luke chapter 22, verse 25, and God or Jesus Christ mentioned. He was talking to his disciples. He said, "You know, the kings of the nations." I'm going to paraphrase what he said. They basically put themselves high up on a pedestal as you know, the great one, so to speak. And everybody else under them just kind of serves them, and they can benefit. They can get rich, and they can enjoy all the luxuries and the pomp and the prestige. But that was not to be done among God's people. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom. Now check this out. This is the most fascinating part of these requirements for leaders of God's people. When he shall sit upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. In other words, he was supposed to hand write, hand copy the entire law of God. Probably the books of Genesis all the way to this great book, Deuteronomy. Why would God have him do that? Well, we talked about in the last study, the king ultimately became the chief justice of the nation. He had to understand the law. He had to know the law better than anybody else, because ultimately it came down to his ultimate decision in certain cases. A king was supposed to ensure justice and judgment. And again, if he didn't know the law, how could he execute justice and judgment? He couldn't. And you know, you look at it today, and it was also done to humble himself so that he would be forced to study God's word and to learn. You know, would to God that all of our presidents would do this, to study God's word every day, even if it was necessary to write the whole Bible out, or at least take notes throughout their entire Bible so that they can keep their feet on the ground and serve the people, and recognize the fact that they are under God. This is a nation under God. The leaders and the presidents are not above God's word, God's law. That's why they're supposed to place their hand upon the Holy Bible. But you know what we have today in office? You can find these video clips on YouTube of Obama mocking God's word. Do you think that qualifies him as being a leader of our nation? Besides the other requirement he doesn't make? Obviously, no way. So he's supposed to copy that, verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. He's supposed to copy it. He's supposed to read it every day, that he may learn to fear or love or revere, respect the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and to do them. What an awesome responsibility. You know, you look at, if you take this down to leaders, pastors and ministers, that is their number one duty, is to study God's word, to read it and to teach it to the people. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. In other words, he was supposed to do this. He was supposed to study God's word every day so that he would become humble, that he would realize, hey, he's not above the law. He's not above God. He's merely serving the role of a servant with a great deal of responsibility. And again, would to God we had leaders like this today, but we don't. We just don't, you know. I'm going to back up and I'm going to talk about verse 15 again there. Jesus Christ, when you read the title, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that mean? Well, it means he's above all those other kings, but that means that there are kings on the earth at this time. Who are they? Well, they're the kings of the ethnic peoples. And when you look at the role of Israel, the Israelites, they don't have a king. Again, just like the motto, they have no king but King Jesus, the motto of our forefathers who built this great nation. But you know the role that the Israelites have. As we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 7, they were supposed to be a holy people, a royal priesthood. They were supposed to, that's where the law was supposed to be taught from them to the nations, to those kings, who would then pass it on to their people. But you do look at that and you realize, you know, there is a, when you look at the prophecies of those overcomers, they're going to be priests with God and with Christ, or they're going to be priests with Christ for 1,000 years. And you look at these requirements here. These requirements apply to you. To you that want to take part in the leadership in God's kingdom. You're not going to be a king over a nation or anything like that, but you have a vital role of teaching. Of being close to God, of being in His presence. And, well, I guess that's another topic for another time. But, again, God has each people set upon this earth, created uniquely for their own purposes, for God's own purposes, for His own plan. So when I read in chapter, or when I read verse 15 there, and it says, "You shall not set a stranger, a non-Israelite over your people," that's not racist. That's not bigoted. That's natural. Again, every nation has the right to maintain its identity, who they are. That's respectful. It's disrespectful to come into somebody's nation and call them names, call them hateful, call them bigots, because they don't want to accept that. That's rude. That's disrespectful. And that's what happens to us today here in America, and it's very sad. And I know many people of color that would agree with me on that. They do respect God's law, His order. And in turn, we respect them back. It's just the natural thing. We are one family, the family of God, but in its natural division, in its natural order. Well, I guess that's it. You know, obviously, when you read through this list, Obama fails miserably in every category. Again, not just from verse 15, but as far as wanting to, you know, you look at the parties he has. He throws all these lavish parties off of the taxpayer money. He goes around, you know, just with his kill list and just executing whoever he feels like it. He goes golfing all the time. And I can't remember if I mentioned it, but he's always off on vacation doing something. That's not what a leader is supposed to do. Not according to God's law. Unless you're a third-rate dictator. Well, I hope you enjoyed that study. Hey, we keep going through these laws in the book of Deuteronomy. This is a fascinating book. Again, this is the first, some of the first words out of Christ's mouth here on this earth were quotes from this great book, the book of Deuteronomy, because Christ is the Word. He is the Word of God. He is the law, so to speak, because the law is the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And by it, everything was created. Well, again, like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it, see that you consume it, see that you digest it, meditate upon it, think about it every day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you. And thank you for your support.